Talk Zone presents Consult Us on Business, featuring Frank Bisconti, the show that addresses the challenges of small business owners and helps those looking to become successful entrepreneurs. Here's your host for Consult Us on Business, Frank Bisconti.
Welcome to the show, and Consult Us on Business is one of the fastest growing business advice shows right here in America. We are the show that offers business advice to small business owners and those thinking about starting their own businesses. We have a very interesting show lined up for everybody today with a very special guest that will be joining us in about 15 minutes. We will explore the benefits of education on becoming a successful entrepreneur. I will tell you a little bit more about our guest at the end of this first segment. Of course, if you're thinking about starting your own business, get out there and buy my book, which is Going Gangbusters on Amazon.com. It's titled, It's My Turn to Be an Entrepreneur, Everything You Need to Know Before You Start a Business. You can also ask me questions through TalkZone.com or find me through my website, www.consultusmp.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You are also welcome to call in at any time during the show with your business-related questions, and our number here is 888-GO-FOR-IT. That's 888-463-6748. So let's get right in. I have gotten into a zone of doing a short political commentary in the first segment of every show. So I'm going to stick with that because last week was, of course, a very interesting week in the U.S. here, where President Obama had a chance to speak to the joint session of Congress and let us know what his plan is going to be to create new jobs here in America. For those of you that were listening in last week or may not have been listening in last week, our guest on the show was political speechwriter Jonathan Wilcox. And among the questions I asked Jonathan was what he thought might be contained in President Obama's speech that was unveiled last week. And Jonathan predicted that it would be a speech that would promise something for everyone in an attempt to improve his current political standing. Now, Jonathan had no prior knowledge of the speech. He didn't have a first look at it like he does get sometimes. But as it turns out, he was absolutely right. Everyone, both political analysts of the Republican and Democratic side, both acknowledged that the president's speech, as a speech, was excellent. And that's one credit that I will give President Obama. Of all the presidents that I have seen since 1960, he is certainly up there with the top in his ability to make and deliver a speech. In fact, his speech was so well done that the Republicans chose not to even to respond to it, using that the football game was coming on right after the presidential speech. But I really think they just didn't want to confront the president on some of the topics that he brought up because, like Jonathan mentioned, there was something for everybody in that speech. So what am I talking about? First of all, let's talk about some of the positives that happened during the president's speech. He offered tax incentives for businesses if they hire people with additional incentives if they actually hire people that are out of work, as much as $8,000 per new employee. He also made a pledge that the U.S. government was going to do more investing into infrastructure building, that's roads and bridges, with a particular focus on schools. And there are over 35,000 schools, public schools here in the United States, which are being targeted for infrastructure improvement. Now, I think that's a really good thing. The United States does need to keep investing money into the infrastructure. And it's also very good for the construction industry. Was the speech inspiring? Yes. What did the stock market think of the speech? Did it start to turn things around? And did they see enough substance in his speech where the stock market turned around from its slide last week and started heading up? No. Now, why is that? because there were also some negatives in the speech. And if you listen closely, the president came out swinging right away, targeting three primary groups of people that would benefit from his new plan. The first group was the construction industry, and that's great. Mostly he was focusing on the use of construction and the leveraging of U.S. dollars for infrastructure projects, roads, buildings, and these 35,000 schools. That's fantastic. I have no issue with that other than the payment issue, which I'm going to touch on in just a second. The second group that he is trying to create financial incentives for are teachers. As many of you know, and this is true throughout the country, teachers are getting laid off at a very high rate in order for states to start to begin to balance their budgets. And the third group were people that are currently unemployed, but without any specificity for industry. Now, I have been harping on for weeks that since the president took office, that there has been little or no attempt to bolster small business here in America, keeping in mind that small business is responsible for 80% of all employment in this country. Now, the cutting of payroll taxes and creating tax incentives for businesses, what is that actually going to do in terms of creating new employment opportunities for people? Now, my first reaction to that was probably nothing at all. See, this is kind of a very odd situation. By the president offering to small businesses that they would have an opportunity to have their taxes reduced if they hire more people is not really going to be an incentive, because the amount of money that would cost them to hire a person is going to be greater than the tax incentive itself. So unless the business begins to expand and generate more income, businesses are not going to hire more people simply because the president is offering a tax incentive. This doesn't make any sense at all. Now, from a speech standpoint, it comes over very well that there's going to be a reduction in payroll taxes and an increase in tax incentives for small businesses if they hire more people. On the face of it, it sounds good, but the reality is, I really don't believe it's going to have any material effect on hiring in this country, because small businesses simply aren't going to hire people because there's a tax incentive out there. They will hire people based on need, and the need is not to pay less taxes. The need is to generate more business. Today, which is September 13th, Manpower, the big employment and placement firm, issued a report today based on 18,000 companies that it had reviewed, saying that from their polling, 70% of the U.S. companies do not plan on making any major employment hirings or firings through the remainder of this year. Now, on one hand, that's bad, because these 18,000 firms will not be hiring any new people. Therefore, the expectancy would be that the unemployment rate is going to remain static at the 9.1 or 9.2% that it currently is. On the other hand, the positive way to look at it is that these 18,000 companies, if they plan on not laying off people, that does create a little bit of job security for those that are working for these firms, having at least some comfort for the remaining 4 or 5 months of the year that their jobs are stable, and we're going to take another look at what employment levels may or may not be starting in 2012. So then the next question becomes, after the president has completed his speech and he has promised something to everyone, is how exactly is he going to pay for the $450 billion of new expense that the government is going to incur in this jobs stimulus package? Well, his simple answer was that he has a plan. But he really didn't have a plan. It was a classic Obama shake and bake. There was so much interest going on the speech itself and his delivery of the speech that he really didn't say how he was going to pay for it. What he did say, though, was that he has directed Congress over the remaining months of the year to reduce federal spending by $1.5 trillion. Now, this is some rhetoric that has been going on for some time now. So all he did was take the approximate $500 billion, which is half a trillion dollars, and add it to the pile. And his method for paying for this new $450 billion plan is simply to tell Congress, hey, you are now no longer responsible for paying for reducing the federal expenditures by $1.5 trillion. Instead, you must now reduce federal spending by $2 trillion. That is the president's plan for paying for this new plan. He did mention, and I guess catering to the Democratic side, that one way to generate more revenue for the country, is to simply raise taxes on the wealthy. And how often do we have to listen to this nonsensical argument? The reality is, and you will never hear the president or any Democrat actually speak of the numbers, what exactly would happen if you raise taxes on the wealthiest 5% of the people here in the United States relative to this $450 billion jobs plan. It would not even make a dent in that. But again, pandering to the left, raise taxes will be a way to help to mitigate this enormous expense. Now, at this point in time, because nothing the government seems to be doing seems to be working in order to generate new jobs in this country and to stimulate the economy, I do acknowledge that the government must do something. Unfortunately, that this wouldn't be my own particular plan. So he is running down the road of heavy government spending once again, and with no real way to pay for it. And the fascinating thing about it is when all was said and done and the president walked out of the chamber, once again, there was no real discussion about how the federal government is going to use its full might and force and leverage the dollars that it has available to them to stimulate small business here in America, other than these meaningless tax cuts that they were talking about. So, unfortunately, I do not believe that the government's plan is going to have any material impact on employment here in the United States. In fact, the plan is only to last for about 12 months. And, of course, the president is not dealing with the very basic question, well, what happens after 12 months? He is just hoping that the private sector in the country is going to step up, start turning itself around without government help, and that will be the big salvation. Pretty soon, we're going to be taking a very short break. I just wanted to touch on one other small topic that I hit last week, and we had a very brief discussion on the difference between a recession and a depression. So to close out this first segment, I once again wanted to just read the description of what a depression is here in the United States. A depression is a sustained long-term downturn in economic activity in one or more economies. It's more severe than a recession and is seen by some economists as part of a modern business cycle, which I disagree with. So here are some of the elements of a depression. Large increases in unemployment. Let's give that a check. There is a decrease in the availability of credit. We're going to check that one off as also being something that's going on. Unavailability of credit is usually the result of some type of banking or financial crisis. That's going on. There is the shrinking of output, meaning that suppliers are cutting back on production and investors are pulling back on investments. There is also an increase in the number of personal and business bankruptcies in the United States. That's going on. There is an increase in sovereign debt defaults. That means countries themselves going into financial default. That is going on. There is a reduction in trade and commerce. That's also going on. There is a devaluation of currency. That's happening every single day by the Federal Reserve here in the United States. There is price deflation. There is financial crises and bank failures. All those things are going on. So why, by definition, are we not in a depression? And the answer is really very simple. Because we say so. We're going to take a short break right now, and when we come back, we'll be talking to head of one of the most prestigious and successful private schools in the country and getting his insights into why education is so important for entrepreneurs. Or is it? This is TalkZone. We'll be right back.